Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Everybody loves a good jingle, right? You know, a little advertisement that goes out and people always kind of hear it and it gets stuck in your mind. And at first you're like, wow, that's really catchy. And then after it's played through your mind like the millionth time, you think to yourself, wow, I'd really like to be rid of this jingle. But there's one such jingle that I'm sure you're all very familiar with. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. We're just a little south, I guess we're kind of southwest of Bloomington here. But the jingle is very familiar. Bloomington being the headquarters for State Farm, right? In all the commercials, what happens, right? You sing the jingle, and bam, the State Farm agent appears. You know, there's probably damage to a car, or, you know, there's flooding in the house, or, you know, the roof is caved in, or you need help with the tower in your church or something. And, you know, you sing like a good neighbor, State Farm is there, and all of a sudden the agent comes and says, everything is going to be okay. Or, you're covered. Don't worry about it. The good neighbor is there to help, no matter what. So what does being a good neighbor have to do with the question we hear from this lawyer in our text for this morning? He asks this question of Jesus. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Maybe you have the same question. How do I gain eternal life? Well, we learn in our text that the answer is love. If you love perfectly, you will finally be a good enough neighbor to enter eternal life. The lawyer answered, right? You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus tells us if we do this, we will live. He tells the lawyer, you have answered correctly. Love. But the catch is that you have to do it perfectly. Not one screw up, not one instance where you step over that line and commit a sin. As Jesus says, love is the summary of the law. You want to follow the Ten Commandments perfectly? That means you have to love perfectly. Love God, love your neighbor. And so that's what you have to do. If you want to have eternal life, you have to do this. But the truth is that you can't. I can't. This lawyer can't. None of us can follow the law perfectly. There's always something that gets in our way. It's called sin. Okay? Naturally, we hate God. We don't want any part of it. And I'm sure if you reach back into the depths of your mind, there is someone along the way who you just haven't liked. Someone that you just can't bring yourself to love. Maybe somebody in your past, or maybe somebody right now. And so, what does the lawyer do? You know, he has this whole problem of sin as well, and he obviously has people that he doesn't really want to love, and so he tries to justify himself. Well, who is my neighbor? And so Jesus tells this parable. It's like a scene you might see in a movie, right? There's a guy walking down the road, and out of a dark alley, all of a sudden, come a dozen robbers, right? They encircle this guy. There is no way of escape. If he runs, he gets caught. If he tries to hide, well, there really is nowhere to hide. He's just in the middle of a road. And so what happens? Well, we all know, right? He gets beaten half to death. He is stripped of all of his property, even the clothes off his back are taken from him, and then the robbers just sort of push him off and roll him into the ditch so he can die. Great picture, right? And so what can this man do? Nothing. There is literally nothing he can do. He's beaten half to death. He can't journey on to Jericho. He can't journey back to Jerusalem. There's just nothing for him to do. But wait. All of a sudden, he sees somebody coming in the distance. And it's a priest of all people. Somebody who you know will help. Except as he approaches, he sees this dead man off in the ditch, or half-dead man. And he sort of crosses the road to the other side to avoid even coming near to him as he passes on by. The hope that this man thought he had was taken away from him. But what? Somebody else coming towards him on the horizon. This time a Levite. Well, if the priest wouldn't help, well, surely the Levite will. But we get the same story. This man is passed up a second time. And then who comes by but a Samaritan of all people? Surely this Samaritan won't help him either. But no. The Samaritan sees this man in need and he stops by. He places him on his own animal, binds up his wounds, pours on oil and wine, and leads him to the inn where he can recover. Where he can get well again. And so my question for you this morning is, which character do you think you are in this parable? Are you the one who has passed by the half-dying man? Or are you the one who stops to help? The answer? Neither. You neither help nor pass by. Instead, if you want to know where to find yourself in this parable, you're lying half dead in a ditch. Why? Because your sin has surrounded you. It has stripped you of any hope that you thought you had. Try to run? It's always there. How many times have you kind of set your mind to conquer one sin or another? And yet over and over again, your sin keeps holding you back. You're surrounded. You can't get away from it. There is nowhere to hide. It plagues you. Maybe if that's not enough, think about the world we live in. Violence and war is a result of sin. Police being shot in the line of duty, like in Dallas this past week, is a result of sin. Hunger, starvation, addiction, lust, envy, disease, sickness, death. It's all because of sin. You see, there is no escape. You are helpless to get away from it. And what does it do? It leaves you beaten and half dead on the side of the road. Have any of you experienced that yet in your life? Just feeling totally beaten down by sin and the effects of sin in this world? See, much like the man who was beaten and left half dead, we often keep our eyes on the horizon for our hope. But the problem is that we always hope in the wrong thing. You see, first and foremost, we always jump to the comforts of this life, right? Well, you know, sin's getting me down, but if I had a larger savings account, that might do it. That might give me some hope in this life. If I had, you know, a nicer tractor, a bigger truck, the big screen TV. Maybe you look towards social life. If I had more friends, if I had more popularity or more influence in the world, if people took my opinion more seriously. You see, when life gets us down, we look towards the comforts of this world. We want more stuff. We want more influence. But like the priest and the Levite, what do these things do? They leave us. They pass by. Why? Because there will always be a nicer TV. There will always be a bigger truck. There will always be a shinier tractor. Or more influence we can have. Or friendships that fade. It leaves us with our eyes on the horizon, hoping for something different. But remember that hope does come for the man in the parable. A real hope, a lasting hope. A Samaritan comes. Someone who this man did not expect would ever help him at all. But the Samaritan comes and he takes care of him. Puts him on his own animal, binds up his wounds, takes him to the inn so he can recover. He gives this man hope. But not only does he say, hey, look, here's 2 denarii for you. He tells the innkeeper, any debt this man accrues in his course for recovery, I'm going to pay it for him. I'm going to take care of it. And so this man has an open tab. And the same is true for you. Dead, abandoned, beaten down by sin, there is one who comes to pick you up. The Good Samaritan. His name is Jesus. He came to earth to bear your sins and be your Savior, and he comes to you in an unexpected way, with words. He comes to you in an unexpected way. As a human being, he comes to you even now as you hear this sermon. See, Jesus is the perfect neighbor who lives a perfect life, who lays down that life for you, who carries your sin on a cross where he bleeds and dies. He pays the price for you. He promises that your sins are forgiven. No matter what sort of sin it is that is harming you, no matter what sort of sin that is beating you down, Jesus has conquered it. Jesus has overcome it. Jesus has paid the debt. And what's more, but he leaves you an open tab. Maybe today's not a day that you feel beaten down. Maybe today's not a bad day for you. Maybe the sun is shining today and the world is your oyster and you can't see any bad in this life. Well, I promise you that when the bad comes, Jesus has not only given you 2 denarii, he's given you an open tab for the sins that afflict you now, for the sins that afflict you in the future, for the sins you've committed now, for any sins you will commit in the future. Jesus' grace is sufficient. Jesus' forgiveness is enough. Jesus does it all. To the point where he takes your place. Beaten and left for dead on a cross. Only Jesus doesn't just half die. He dies all the way. He breathes his last. You see, especially in a week like today when we face a death amongst our congregation, we know that death itself cannot even hold Jesus down. Because Jesus was raised to life. A life that will never end in a life that he promises to each and every one of us. Because Jesus has been your perfect neighbor. The lawyer asked Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" "You shall do nothing." Because Jesus has already done it all. Through his crucifixion, through his resurrection, Jesus has won for you salvation and conquered every sin. But there's still one more thing in our text for today. The very last words of Jesus. "As for you, go and do likewise. Go and be a neighbor." You see, having received this wonderful gift this morning, there are still those out in the world who have their eyes set on the horizon, who are still looking for a hope that will not pass them by. And this is where you come in. You are to be the Good Samaritan, carrying that message of Jesus crucified and risen. You carry it out into the world. That way, those who are hurting, those who are beaten down by this world, they too can hear the gospel message that Jesus Christ has been crucified and risen for the sins of the whole world. And that is a message worth carrying. Like a good neighbor, carry that message to those around you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.